What is love? Eurodance group Hadaway writes their song, What is Love? I want no other, no other lover. This is our life, our time. If we are together, I need you forever. Is it love? What is love? Oh, baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Katharine Hepburn, the famous actress, wrote in her autobiography, Me, Stories of My Life, love has nothing to do with what you are expecting to get, only with what you are expecting to give, which is everything. Shakespeare, A Midsummer Night's Dream. Love looks not with the eyes, but with the mind, and therefore is winged Cupid painted blind. Or how about this one? The poet Ambrose Bierce in The Devil's Dictionary writes, love, a noun, a temporary insanity curable by marriage. C.S. Lewis writes in The Four Loves, there is no safe investment. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. Many people have asked and tried to answer the question, what is love? But the best answers come from what God has revealed to us, which is why we read the Bible. And we've read today a section from 1 John chapter 4 that is about love. As we come to unpack this text, let's commit our time to God. Our Heavenly Father, help us to draw close to you today. Help us to know the truth. Fill us with your love by your Holy Spirit. Guide us and shape our hearts to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. In this section of chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, there are 311 words in the Greek text. And that's including all those tiny words like and the and a. And within those 311 words, there are 29 occurrences of the word love in one form or another. This section is 9.3% love. There are 21 occurrences of the word God. There's no mistake what this section is about. This section is about love. And most particularly, it's about God's love. Let me read verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is a call to love. Beloved, let us love one another. Verse 7 tells us the importance of love for one another as an indicator that we are born of God. What does it mean to be born of God? If you want to understand this, jump over to John's Gospel, chapter 3, where Jesus has a discussion with a Jewish leader called Nicodemus about being born again. It means that there is an amazing spiritual transformation that occurs when we encounter the living God and put our trust in him. To emphasize this point, in 1 John, he writes that you don't even know God if you're not loving. And then he says that strange statement, God is love. What does that mean? Earlier, in this book, in chapter 1, we read that God is light. And now John writes that God is love. This is different to saying God is loving or God loves. It's different to saying love is God. It's different to saying that God is a concept or a feeling or even anything that we choose to call love. So what does it mean? Commentator Leon Morris says, God is love means it is his nature to love. John Stott says, God is love in his inmost being. Love is more than just a good way to describe God. It is God who gives us the very definition of love. Love does not define God. Love does not sit above God as a ruling principle that God must obey. God defines love for us. Remember in the previous chapter, in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know love. He laid down his life for us, and we too ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. God defines love, and the best understanding of God comes when we look at Jesus Christ. If you want to know what love is, look at Jesus. Verses 9 and 10 say, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I want to say something about this word propitiation. We've heard it before in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. This word is about atonement, which we learned a lot about when we studied Leviticus here not long ago. How in ancient Israel, sacrifices were made to make atonement for the sins of Israel. And propitiation is about how God has made a way for us to escape his righteous response to our sin, our death. See in verse 9, Jesus was sent so that we might live through him. God's righteous response to our sin, our evil, is not to say, oh, that's okay. You can keep murdering people, or that's fine. I'll just keep forgiving you. No, remember, God is love. And to allow evil with no consequences would not be a loving action. So God's righteous response to evil and sin is ultimately to destroy it. And this is called God's wrath. For some people, the word wrath brings to mind an evil tyrant who gets angry and lashes out, hurting those around them. But God's wrath is not because he is emotionally unstable, but rather because he is the very definition of love. When I think of a parent and a child, sometimes the child will do the wrong thing. Perhaps the child hits another child, and the parent must respond to this. But the loving parent does not stop loving the child. The parent hates the sinful action because it has brought hurt and damage. But the parent loves the child. So what does love really mean? We get our definition of love by looking to Jesus. So what does this teach us about what love really means? I want to read verses 9 and 10 again. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. twice we are told about what love means. So in verse 9, sending the Son, a self-giving, self-sacrificial, life-imparting act. And in verse 10, that it originates from God, sending the Son to make us right with God. Let's go through these two verses and see what they tell us about love. Real love. God's love. Firstly, real love is missional. It's sending. Twice it mentions sending. Going to the other. Not standing at a distance. The Latin word missit. So God sent, God missit. From this Latin word, we get our word mission. Mission literally means to send. Real love goes to the other. Real love is missional. Secondly, real love is incarnational. We talk about Jesus coming to this world as the incarnation, which means he put on flesh, stepping into our world. He didn't just float around as a spiritual being in our world. He put on what we are, people, humans. He put on flesh. So real love is stepping out of our comfortable position, humbling oneself and serving the other. We see this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. This is how you should think among yourselves, with the mind that you have because you belong to the Messiah Jesus, who, though in God's form, did not regard his equality with God as something he ought to exploit. Instead, he emptied himself and received the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of humans, and then having human appearance, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death, yes, even the death of the cross. How many of us would like the right to sit at a safe comfort zone? More than that, we want to build a wall around us to keep everybody else out. In all of our decisions, how can we be incarnational? How can we step into the world of the other, out of our comfortable position, and humbly serve? Real love is incarnational. Thirdly, real love takes the initiative. Even when the other person is in the wrong, this is hard. In our relationships with others, sometimes people will hurt us, and usually we've contributed to the problem somehow, but from our perspective, our contribution to the problem is nothing compared with what they did. So we think, I should not have to apologize, or I should not have to go to them first. They should come to me and apologize. For those of you who are married, how often does it work this way? Real love takes the initiative, even when the other person has done wrong. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Real love, God's love, takes the initiative. Fourthly, and I think this is an important one, real love is self-sacrificial. It is costly. Love was costly for Jesus. In order to become the propitiation for our sins, Jesus suffered and died. Are we prepared to suffer and perhaps even die? Is that what we're supposed to do? In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we read, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. C.S. Lewis, in The Four Loves, who I quoted earlier, went on to write, Christ did not teach and suffer that we might become, even in the natural loves, more careful of our own happiness. If a man is not uncalculating towards the earthly beloveds whom he has seen, he is none the more likely to be so towards God whom he is not. We shall draw nearer to God, not by trying to avoid the sufferings inherent in all loves, but by accepting them and offering them to him, throwing away all defensive armor. If our hearts need to be broken, and if he chooses this as the way in which it should break, so be it. Real love is self-sacrificial. Finally, real love brings healing to the other person. It restores relationship. When I was a teenager, there was a family in my church. They had had young children, and the man in the family worked a very humble job, doing his best to serve his family. But there was a leader in the church who, completely unqualified, who counseled the woman in that family and told her that she could do better than the husband that she had. This young couple ended up divorced. When you do ministry and the results of your ministry are broken relationships, then something is very wrong with your ministry. Now, just to be clear, I'm not talking here about abusive relationships. In those cases, there are important reasons to separate. But real love should be life-giving, not life-destroying. Real love brings healing and reconciliation. So in verse 9, we read, so that we might live through him. Real love brings life. And in verse 10, the propitiation for our sins, the atonement that restores our relationship with God. And that's what Christ's act does. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Romans 5:10 says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Real life, real love brings healing and reconciliation. Let's read verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Firstly, I want to look at this word, so. If God so loved us. Does it remind you of a famous verse, John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The sense of the word so here is not like when I might say, I love you so much, but rather it means in this way. For God in this way loved the world that he gave his only Son. And the same is here in verse 11 in 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, if God in this way loved us, we also ought to love one another. So what does the so refer to? In what way did God love us, and are we to love one another? An interesting perspective on this I read from commentator Leon Morris, who sees the so as referring to the God is love concept. That is, God loves because it is his nature, so we also should love because it is our nature. I'd not thought of this possibility before. I've always thought that the so was referring to the self-sacrificial nature of love. That is, God shows his love through the self-sacrifice of Christ, and we also should show love through self-sacrifice. Whichever is intended in the text, both are surely true. How many times have we been told to love in 1 John? And verse 11 is telling us that all of this, this understanding of love that we get by looking at Jesus, that is to be our purpose too. That is to be our way of operating too. We also saw this in Philippians 2:5. This is how you should think among yourselves. We saw it in 1 John 3:16, the previous chapter, where it said, this is how we know love. He laid down his life for us, and we too ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Saw it in Romans 12, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is something for us to do. God isn't finished with this world yet. We have the opportunity to be a part of God's work, the outflow of his love in this world. It is our turn to be the missional, incarnational, initiative-taking, self-sacrificial, healing force in this world. God wants to work through us to achieve his purpose. And every follower of Jesus can be a part of that. So, what will we look like when people look at us? Well, let's read verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. There are lots of verses in the Bible about how God cannot be seen. You may remember this one from John's Gospel, John 1:18. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So Jesus has made God known to us. It's also in Hebrews 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In John 9:5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But now, Jesus is gone. And this next verse, in 1 John 4, verse 12, shows us that we are the next step in the process. This beautiful verse says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. As my wife and I continue to meet the people living around us in our neighborhood, there are just a couple of things that people notice. How we treat each other and how we treat them. It can be just a wave and a smile. Hi, how are you going? A conversation without judgment. The way we speak to each other with respect in our family. One of our neighbours has experienced some very severe domestic violence in her life. One day, as my wife, Crystal, was talking to her, and she asked Crystal about our relationship, and she was amazed when Crystal told her that we don't yell at each other and we don't get violent. We do get angry sometimes, but we talk about it and come to a resolution. This type of relationship was revolutionary to her. The love of God is revolutionary. If you live your life alongside the people around you who don't yet know the love of God, then the life you demonstrate can be revolutionary for them. verses 13 to 16. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The Holy Spirit in our hearts testifies that we are abiding in God and God in us. In Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And in Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit in our lives leads to testimony. We confess that Jesus is the Son of God, our Saviour. We tell others about it. And in this way, we've come to know and believe God's love through Jesus, the Saviour of the world. Verses 17 and 18. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Love perfected, love made complete. Confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. As he is, how is he? God is love. We don't have to fear judgment. We can have confidence because we are love in this world. The sign that we are in him, and so will be saved on the day of judgment. Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. This section finishes with verses 19 and 21. Which says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is a reminder that love originated with God. God's initiative taking love inspires our love. And this should be evident in how we love each other. And this command has come from Jesus. I want to finish by reading a passage about love. And then to summarize. This is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us love one another. It's God's nature. God gives us the very definition of love. If you want to know what love is, look to Jesus. Jesus atones for our sin, giving us a way to escape God's righteous response to our sin. Real love, God's love, is missional. It goes to the other. It's incarnational. It enters into the world of the other. It's initiative taking. It's self-sacrificial. And it's healing and reconciling. God wants to love the world through us. And how do we do this? Love. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we love others. Testify to Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Show God's revolutionary love to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, make us like Jesus. Make us love. Pour out your love into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Help us to show love to others within the body of Christ. Help us to show love to others who have not yet experienced your revolutionary love. Give us the courage to go where you send us. Give us the humility to leave aside our comforts and enter into the world of the other. Help us to take the initiative to love, even when it costs us dearly. Flow through us with your love, reaching out to provide healing and reconciliation to all those around us. Amen.